sold an empty house. We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. Their customer service is unmatched there, and it's the official credit union of 3 and Out for good reason. They've been doing it for, almost 90 years now here in East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union online at tvacreditunion.com. All right, Chris, you think we're going to get the officials, ticky-tack, like first trip down the court, Euros breathes on a guy, boop, foul.
Okay, foul. Against Duke, we started rough. Not rough. We started overly physical, at least toeing the line, and then kind of settled into just normal basketball. I think this game, you go the opposite. Start off, don't foul them,
don't touch anybody.
You know, just play it. And then as the game goes on, you start to maybe test that line a little bit here and there. And then, I mean, if they're good. They're not physical.
No.
But they may not – that may not matter. Because they want to play fast, they want to get out and run, they want to shoot a bunch of threes.
Right.
But you know,
we shouldn't need to be physical to do what we like to do.
Exactly.
With them
anyway. Right. Right. You know.
So
good,
no, I like that, and then we can be back to beating people up when we play at Michigan State.
Right.
That.
And I'm telling you now, if we play Michigan State, that will
be
that'll be a fist fight in a phone booth.
Yeah.
For 40 minutes.
I think Kansas State will too.
Yeah, it might
be. They're a little quicker though, too, aren't they?
They have a 5'8" guard that's sick, and then they've got another guard that's quick too. But they've got big guys. I mean, either one of those matchups will be, I think, will be a physical basketball.
That 5'8" guy that Calipari literally referred to as the little guy.
The little guy.
He torched them. That's so just refreshing.
Like, did you not know his? Like that guy should have been circled all.
Or at least use his number. You know, a lot of coaches are like, 12 killed us tonight, you know.
Do you want to know the nickname the Nazis have for you? The little man.
The little man.
Wait, I'm the little man? Mm-hmm. Although I must tell you, I'm surprised. You're really not that small.
Well, everybody was mad at FAU after their game against FDU because that guy tried that dunk. Did you see that?
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. I mean, did he need to do it? Absolutely not. He missed the dunk. That was the one bad move by FDU's coach, I thought, when he did the over the top handshake and pat at the end of the game, telling the coach your player shouldn't have dunked that. That was classless. And the guy's just like, have a good season. Good job. We'll see you later. Please let go of my hand. It was kind of awkward.
Wait, who do you think was in the wrong there, the FDU coach or FAU?
I don't think the FDU coach, I get you're upset, but your season's over. You were down 8. The dunk wouldn't have mattered. Let that coach his team. He just won the game.
Some people said he was apologizing to Tobin, the coach for FDU.
That's what it looked like. I'm no lip-reading expert, but it looked like he was very apologetic.
Well,
and Tobin was like, "It's okay, you know."
Yeah, no.
Tobin's very fast talking and long winded. So,
but you could see the FAU coach.
I think all of this can be true.
Yeah.
I think the FAU guy probably wanted to just kind of blow by and be like, "Hey, man, sorry about that last one."
Yeah,
and that be the end of it. And then Tobin, especially because his season's over, there's nothing left to do except talk. So he's probably like, "Oh, don't worry, man, that's okay. You guys played great. It was a battle." You know, and the FAU guy, who is very chill. I don't know if you noticed him on the sideline. That game is going insane. He's just standing there, just kind of mellow, just watching it. Apparently he's a Bob Knight disciple, but kind of like how if your parent's one way, you're the complete opposite because you don't want to be that way. He is overly calm, you know. So,
but that you talk about an epic pat down, though. I mean, it was one for the ages, maybe the best I've ever seen. I think the final pat count was 17, maybe or something
There was some aggressive patting.
Tobin is, he's a talker, man. He's just 90 miles an hour.
You know, his wife's a UT grad.
I heard that. Yeah.
And he's a fisherman.
Big fisherman, Chris.
We have 7 lakes. We have land. Maybe he has some land in Dandridge.
No, I don't want him.
Okay. Not yet.
He just caught lightning in a bottle.
I would take Dusty May, though, one day.
Who's that?
FAU's coach.
Okay.
He's got a...
We hate him now because he said he's going to study rugby.
Right.
which is a compliment. I don't think there was any ill intent to plant some seed there.
Well, if he's watching that, he's not watching us.
Yeah, Mark, please do watch rugby.
Yeah.
You can't dribble in rugby.
The execution of that joke was very poor. He almost hesitated, and you could tell he was kind of thinking, like, should I say this? But he ended up saying it, and Vol fans were mad about it.
I don't think he meant it, like...
I know, that's my thing. Like,
I think he thought it would be funny, and it wasn't overly funny, because I don't think anyone in that room knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's the room's fault. They should be up to the times.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of know your audience and a little bit of, you know. Like, okay, you're an FAU fan. Do you like that he said that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I'm a Tennessee fan, and I'm fine with it.
No, I like that he said it, because I think that gives our guys a little bit of motivation.
And
like,
which you kind of,
like,
need that.
That's just, like, it's easy to get up for Duke, right? Like, it's easy to say Duke basketball, NCAA tournament, you got to be ready to go. Yep. FAU, it's like, wait a minute. And then it's like, oh, wait, but their coach said we play, you know, rough and dirty? Okay, cool. Even though he didn't say that, that's what they'll kind of morph it into, which is fine. Like, this team plays better when they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, a little bit of an edge, if they feel like they've been slighted. And I think that's, you know, we'll take – I mean, it's classic Nick Saban at Alabama, right? Oh, that – no – Kirby Smart did it for Georgia. No one thought we'd win the national championship. They picked us to go 8-4. No, they didn't. Everyone had you in the playoff. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I think, like, even the first two games, I mean, right off the bat when they saw the draw, they were like, we got Louisiana winning. And then everybody had Duke winning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So now we're...
Better find something, right?
Yeah.
Even if you need to Georgia and trick our guys into thinking they're the underdog.
Don't
well, they played
us.
New York last year. They couldn't shoot, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
You know?
Tell them, like, I mean, I don't know. Tell them everybody hates them and no one wants them to win now. You know,
no,
what I mean?
That's what
tell our guys that. Yeah,
I mean, they'll see all that stuff in the media. I love it. I mean, we have something now that, like, puts us a little bit in a corner, even if it's just, like, mentally.
So, at the risk of making Nikki mad again, I mean, we're paired up with the West, right? Like, the West is playing on Thursday also?
Yeah.
So, our game Saturday is going to be at 6. Like, surely they'll put the West game at 8:30, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if we beat FAU, it's going to be men at 6, women at 6:30. That'll be something.
And the West is all the loaded, right? It's like
loaded.
Houston and
UCLA.
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, yeah. I mean, it's...
Who's Houston
insane.
Play?
Did I just close that?
I
sorry, I had
Houston
it.
Play.
Oh, no, I got it.
Whoever the four was.
It's not, no, it's not Houston. It's Arkansas, UConn, Gonzaga, UCLA. Houston is in the Midwest.
Okay.
Kansas was in the West, so it that was kind of weird how that flipped.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could flip it. I mean, it wouldn't be crazy to have a 3 o'clock West Coast start time, but I don't know why they would. I mean, that West game is going to be a pretty good basketball game no matter who wins. It's not like they're going to have two Cinderellas that nobody wants to watch, you know?
Right.
Can you have 3 SEC teams in the Final Four?
You could have Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. That'd be something.
Yep. That'd be wild.
Yeah.
Big Ten definitely looks way overrated. The ACC's kind of weird.
I think the Big East has 3 teams.
Kind of some of each, I guess, maybe slightly overrated. The Big 12 has been slightly overrated. I mean, Kansas State's look good. Texas still looks good. Kansas going down really hurt them. None of them, the mid-level teams, though, all kind of sucked it up. And I think the mid-majors as a whole have been pretty strong. I mean, San Diego State's still here.
FAU.
Houston's held their spot. FAU.
I mean, Houston.
Princeton.
I'm going to call Houston a high major. They're about to go into the Big 12.
Yeah, okay. But when you get a number one seed, I mean, I remember, was it St. Joe's a few years ago? They were 1 or 2. Well, not a few years, a long time ago. A lot of times those teams that go, like, almost undefeated seem to struggle. I mean, Gonzaga, again, has been good. St. Mary's did get beat, but I mean, obviously that they were a good basketball team. UConn's good. So I don't think the mid-majors are really disappointed. Billy Stats was telling me that the Ivy League, you know, there's like 30-something basketball conferences. There's a lot. The Ivy League used to be one of the worst a few years ago, and now it got all the way up to like ranked 13th, I think, out of 30-something conferences this year. So somebody, one of the experts was saying, not shocked that Princeton is –
And Princeton wasn't even their best team all year.
Yeah,
it was
Yale was
so.
The best team. So Creighton's been good. So I'd say mid-majors have been very good. The SEC has looked, I mean, great, honestly. I mean, I don't know how you could argue against that.
What are you looking at me for, Chris?
It's just funny. I'm just saying. How many Big 12 teams are left? Kansas State, Texas.
And that's it.
How many Big 10 teams are left?
Michigan State. Michigan State.
ACC?
Miami. Miami.
I think.
What's the Big East got?
Big East got three.
UConn.
Creighton.
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 And there's one other one.
SEC's got three. Bama, Tennessee, Arkansas.
Xavier, yeah. There it is.
Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee. You got.
I mean,
you got Houston, San Diego State.
I never said the SEC sucked.
Princeton.
Whoa. I didn't say you said they sucked.
And then Gonzaga, mid-major. And then you have UCLA from the
Pac-12.
Yeah.
Only Pac-12 team left is UCLA?
I think so, man. Yeah, because Arizona got bounced. That's it, right?
What, Chris? I mean,
what?
Just looking at me, man.
Big 12, best conference in America.
You're giving me those googly eyes.
Yeah, those were the eyes. I'm just saying.
The Big 12 beat up on each other all year.
Iowa State lost by 18. I mean, yeah, we never got to give you sufficient hell over that one.
It was rigged.
They scored 41 points.
It was rigged.
What did they have in the first half?
They asked. All right, circling back to that story, they asked to have the goal checked. Then, when it took them 7 minutes to check it, they said, Iowa State, would you like more time to warm up? And they said, nah, we're good.
I like that. It shows confidence in your team against
the
first seed.
I think it showed fear, and they wanted to have a built-in excuse for when they lost.
That was bad. Baylor loses by 9 to Creighton, 3-6. I mean, you can't have that happen. West Virginia lost in round 1 to Maryland. Who else let you down? Kansas. Let me start on Kansas. I mean, they lost to Arkansas. I mean, that's crazy bad.
That 10-second violation in the final couple of minutes there killed them.
Get the ball across half court. Who else has lost from the Big 12? TCU looked pretty good, but I mean, they were a 6th seed. They lost at the appropriate time.
They covered though.
Okay. Good for them.
On a miracle 3-pointer with like 0.2 seconds.
There you go. There's your Big 12 wrap-up. They have two teams left.
Best conference in basketball.
ACC has three. The Big 12 even had better seeds than the SEC. Or at least the same. I mean, Kansas and Alabama were both ones. I mean, Texas got a 2. Baylor had a 3. Kansas State had a 3.
Sheesh.
Yeah, rough
look. Here's this thought I had. I told Billy Stats this yesterday. When I was
talking
to
you and him
phone.
Talk a lot.
I said, in 10 years, we'll be referring to Eric Musselman kind of the same way we talk about Tom Izzo now. It'll be known as January,
you said that yesterday.
February must. Did I?
Yeah.
I was only here for a short time, so I know. I couldn't really remember if I said that or not.
Is he going to stay at Arkansas?
Oh, yeah, I think he will. He seems to just absolutely eat that fan base up and right back at him, too.
They have a very rich, it's an older tradition, but a very rich basketball tradition. I wonder if the right team came calling for Musselman. If he's just like, man, Fayetteville. I don't know. Hell, they were ready to roll him midway through the season.
Made $4 million.
Arkansas fan. When they started crazy. SEC play, like 1-5, they were like, this guy's lost it. Oh, God.
Idiots. I'd rather be an 8 seed and make the Elite Eight every year than be a 1 and get bounced like Kansas.
No, I hear you. Just saying.
Yeah. We'll come back with more. We'll get back to the phone lines if you want to weigh in. 865-546-8200 right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back to 3 and Out, 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program. Up next, we have Roberto on the horn. What's up, Roberto? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. Just seeing if I'm echoey before I annoy you guys for the next 5 minutes.
Good to go.
Outstanding. I think I figured out all of my problems technologically lately. It's user error. Nonetheless, guys, is the richest thing in all of college sports Duke fans claiming their game was fixed?
It might be a tie with the Alabama-Tennessee game from this last year. Mm-hmm. But
any football game or the basketball game? I'm sorry. We beat them in both.
The football game. Like, the blue blood program claiming collusion and the fix because their team lost a hard-fought game.
How flipping delusional do you have to be to claim that? I mean, there was a Duke fan that's a Ball fan or whatever that called earlier and yada, yada, yada. And he said, you know, he seemed like an honest guy. I want his honest opinion. Was that game fixed? I think he said he didn't think the refs had anything to do with it.
No, that's what he said. He said they didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. That guy's not delusional. These people are delusional.
I think it's perfect because it sounded like he's the inverse of what Davey Hudson says. It sounds like he's a Duke fan first, Tennessee fan second. So there's no really any better person to ask.
Yeah.
Matt, second Matt, should be, if anything, slightly Duke biased. And if a slight Duke bias guy says, I don't think there's any problem with the officiating, then there definitely wasn't anything wrong with the officiating.
Yeah, that's rich to me, gentlemen. I wish I was that kind of rich.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is it time to just scrap the net and scrap the committee and just pay Ken Palm a bajillion dollars for his? Did you see how accurate his Sweet 16 is?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit yesterday where he had...
I'm sorry if
it's fine, but where he had teams in the KenPom and, like, everyone did their... Because now that we're down to 16, everyone's like, we're going to reseed the bracket.
Yep.
And it's basically just the KenPom rankings of the teams left. It's hilarious.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at FAU in comparison to his current ratings, and, man, they are vastly underseeded, which kind of gives me pause. But then I look at Tennessee and I'm like, oh, we're also vastly underseeded, according to Ken Palm. And at this point, I think he's the gospel truth when it comes to the actual rating of college basketball. I've always been a fan, but after this year, I mean, he has the top seven teams he has in his ratings, and it's like 15 of the top 32 are the Sweet 16, and then you have your one upset with Princeton.
Yeah, that does factor in the games that these teams won, though, right? The last two games. So
I'm not sure. Does it?
Yeah, I mean, it's through the last game. Okay. But still, I still remember before that. I mean, Tennessee was obviously way higher in the KenPom than their seed.
Yeah.
UConn was way higher in the KenPom than their seed. UCLA would have been a one seed if KenPom had done the seed.
Right, right.
They definitely look like it. I mean, Kansas and Purdue were overrated per the KenPom before the tournament,
yep.
And they're the ones that lost. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's great. It's great stuff. You know, I thought UCLA, when they lost their superstar, I don't think he's back yet.
No, it's an Achilles. I don't think he's coming back, is he?
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, I didn't know if it was a tear or if it was a strain or whatever, but either way, I had written that bet off. I made a futures bet on them like a month ago at plus 1,400. Feeling kind of smart right now. I think they're probably the team to beat right now. I mean, Bama's just had an easy road. Guys, don't be surprised if Bama gets beat by San Diego State. San Diego State can play, and they can really play defense.
I would be I would line up for that. Oh, that'd be so great.
San Diego State's 14th in the KenPom.
Yeah, they're vastly underseeded. Well, not vastly, but they're pretty far underseeded as well. But I was just blown away when I saw in KenPom that UConn is the fourth overall team and the fourth over and a four seed in the tournament. I just I don't know. Maybe human error is a good thing because you get more of the upsets. But this year, you guys said it coming in, and I tip my cap to you that this was, at least for the first two rounds, going to be the most interesting tournament we'd ever seen because the middle of the field was just so weak. And I think that's just bore out. I also think, guys, serious question about Kansas. If Bill Self coaches the other day, do they win?
Probably.
I don't know if they win that game if he's just on the sidelines, but if he, like, never has the health issue at all and he's just coached the whole year, you know, like with no change-ups, then, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe they're just a different team. A little more prepared, a little more just at ease. I mean, it's hard to measure the human element of those things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, and I got to say, their assistant head coach, the guy who took over, respect for what he tried to do, but he was not an in-game juggernaut. It's been the best tournament of my lifetime. There's a hot take. 41 years into this vessel I've been given up. This is the best one I've ever seen. It's been great. The amount of upsets was perfect. You know,
yeah, you've still got the big names left, but you know, you got to see David and Goliath. I agree. It's been fun.
I can't speak enough on it, and I'm glad our guys are one of the guys, you know, I mean, isn't that cool that we get to be part of, you know, what is it? I wish that I could be like the cool kids. And I feel like we're the cool kids right now. And I love everybody putting out articles about how we're the bad boys across. We're going to become the most hated school in the country. Good. Good. We punked the punks on national TV, and we became the punks. And I'm in on that. Have a good one.
Thanks for the call. I mean, that's kind of what, like, East Tennessee and Knoxville is. I mean, like, that's when we're at our most unified. That baseball team last year, I mean, that was crazy. Everybody, Jordan Beck flipped a guy off. These guys are bad for the game. Oh, they're too physical. They bullied Duke. That's unfair. It's perfect. That's what I want to be. Oh, Josh Heupel, his offense is too fast. That's not fair. Fix it.
I'll play, second Roberto's statement about this being the best tournament, though.
It's been a lot of fun.
You know, usually there's like always at least one or two games where you like kind of just like, I don't really want to watch that, and just maybe start watching it and you just turn it off because it's just what you thought it would be, just a bad matchup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's been any of those this year so far. Every game has been
had some intrigue.
Intense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like even if a game, like I guess. Well, Missouri didn't come back, but like even teams that fell down big early, for the most part, all battled back, made it a game late.
Mm-hmm. No, and people said, you know, it's funny because when the transfer portal thing first started in NIL, everyone said, oh, the rich will get richer, the rich will get richer. Well, Nate, you just said it. The mid-majors have really performed well. You know, they can adjust their rosters a lot quicker now, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're even in the past, there have been mid-majors who were one player away from maybe making a Final Four, and now they have the ability to go find that player or two players that kind of combine to be that element for their team, and you're seeing the performance on the court.
Yeah, I mean, guys can move around just in general. I mean, forget NIL, for example, with the transfers and stuff.
Yeah, I think mostly the transfer
guys
portal.
Can move around easier. So, like, Jordan Brown's on Louisiana, you know. I mean, he's not transferring twice probably if he has to sit out both times, you know. Like, there's just more opportunities. The San Diego State, we mentioned them yesterday. They've got a guy that's only playing because of the extra COVID year, so I don't know how much that's impacting the mid-major teams. I don't know how many, like, seven-year seniors they have on these
teams. That was the other great complaint by Duke fans.
Well, I mean, Plavsic and Kumar are 24 years old. You guys are grown men. Of course you're going to beat our freshmen. Go. And what's funny is they could both come back if they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most watched NCAA tournament first weekend ever.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
Huh. That's wild.
And, like, props to especially YouTube TV for making it where you can do the split screen.
The split screen,
yeah,
that looks really cool. I don't have it, but that looked like a really cool feature. Think about that, and think about some of the fan bases that aren't in this tournament.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of Pac-12 fans would, you know, watch if their team was in it. They're not. Michigan didn't make it. That's a huge fan base. North Carolina didn't make it. That's a huge fan base. Now, a lot of those people are still going to watch basketball, but probably not as invested.
Yeah.
How do you think this weekend will go? A lot of the big dogs are out now, too.
I think it'll be pretty good still.
Yeah, I think there's enough.
There's storylines.
I'm sure it will hurt that Kansas, Kentucky, and Duke are all out just because those. But here's
hurts
the thing,
me.
Though. Here's the thing. A lot of, like, there might be a few extra casual fans that watch when those teams are in versus those teams being out. But the diehard Kentucky, Kansas, and Duke fans are all still going to watch the tournament because they're basketball fans. So I don't know that it'll hurt quite as much as we would think. And if we already have a lot of momentum for the tournament, there's probably a lot of new fans. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of casuals in Houston, which is a monster market, that don't really follow the season, but they're like, our team is, you know, might go to the Final Four. I'm watching. You know,
mm-hmm, yeah.
You wouldn't have been watching it anyway. So probably counteract. We'll come back with more Hour 2, 3 and Out next.
Shut up.
They just take, I mean.
Shut up.
I don't know what his, I don't know what he's using. It yeah. Depends on how he's grading, you know?
Yeah, it says Milton was 53 of 82 passing, meaning he had 29 incompletions. He said 17 of those were catchable passes or dropped.
Okay.
Or broken
good.
Up by defenders, or they were batted down at the line of scrimmage. The remaining 12 were errant throws.
So he threw 12 incomplete passes that couldn't be caught.
12.
Seven passes were too far on vertical routes. One was too high on a goal line route. One was too hard on a short route.
Yeah.
I mean, that's saying, that's.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know.
15% of your passes are completely uncatchable. That's not good.
It could have been throwaways.
Sorry, how many times do you remember him throwing the ball away? I can't remember any. I'm sure he did some, but that's 15%.
At least they weren't picked, like Houston said, right?
Well, it's because he overthrows them.
Yeah, but he doesn't put them in harm's
way. What was
way?
The headline, though, on that? That's what I think is funny. I mean, this is great data.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was.
But if he's like, only 12 of his passes were errant, it's like he only threw 82.
He has the full Milton breakdown on KnoxNews.com, which I can't read, but basically said it was from Adam Sparks.
Okay.
He just said, running this back as Joe Milton starts spring practice. I charted all 191 plays of his 22 season. He threw only 12 bad passes.
Only. Okay.
What are you doing?
I feel like the really good, like, spread quarterbacks a lot of times only throw 12 bad passes on, like, four times as many attempts. Like, how many bad passes did Hendon Hooker throw? Probably less than 12, and he played the whole damn season.
That's true.
He was throwing a backups, dude.
No, he wasn't. Yes, not all the time.
All but one game, yes, he was.
Okay. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, it's fine to say there were 12 bad passes, but to say only is.
Well, if you throw 12 bad passes and 10 touchdowns, I think I'll take a bad pass per touchdown.
I mean, like you said, they weren't intercepted. I just think it's funny. He's like, only 12 bad passes on 82 attempts.
He's only sacked four times, too.
On 112
only
plays.
Only one pass should have been intercepted.
I don't know if that's good either.
Well, 82 pass attempts.
Yeah.
So it'd be 86 plays he got sacked. I mean, Hendon Hooker was sacked 23 times in 329 attempts. If you extrapolate the data.
Yeah, how is that?
Well, that'd be 340 attempts, and Joe would have been sacked 16 times.
Okay.
So that'd be more attempts
and
fewer
sacks.
Hooker. Yeah, his rating was 204. But Princeton Fant with a rating of 984. Maybe we should have looked into that.
Was he 2 for 2?
1 of 1, 66 all yards right. And a tutty.
I thought maybe he had it a second.
That was a
I
nine.
Couldn't remember. I just think the word "only" in front of 12 is a little. Whatever, man. We don't want to actually do statistical work, you know. We just want to, like I said, media members just telling stories.
He
you know?
Charted the whole thing.
Yeah, and they only found 12 plays. Bad throws, which is 15% of his attempts. How many bad throw? How many attempts did you say Hooker had on the season?
329,
and that was technically 14.6. So that's a point. Okay, so that would be like Hendon Hooker only had 48 errant throws that had no chance to be caught on the season.
He threw 2 picks.
48.
I'm just saying, like, if the guy's double covered and you just chuck it deep over his head intentionally,
no,
like,
that's
a bad throw.
But I don't. There weren't that many of those. It's always.
Well, he threw one over the top in Clemson and then went back 3 plays later and threw a touchdown.
I have said this offense can be very good with Joe Milton. It's just going to be a little different than Hendon Hooker. He's gonna have a few more errant throws. That's okay because you're stretching out the defense. You'll be able to run the ball more and he'll have more open space to catch and run underneath as well.
How many touchdowns over 40 yards did we have this last year through the air? I wonder.
Over 40? I don't know.
I bet this year, whatever the single season record is shattered.
I don't know. People might just start like I can't.
I don't know. You
people are gonna. But
you
now
can't
that,
play far back enough against
but
Joe.
But now that we're good, now like last year, people still didn't think we were going to be good. They thought we were going to be call it average, I guess.
Yeah.
Plus or minus some, depending on the other coach. The other coaching staff, and who the opponent is. Now that we're considered good and some of these teams are going to view us as the heavy favorite, I think they're going to do some weird crap on defense. We're going to see some really weird stuff. And some of it's not going to work at all. And we're going to love it. Like, they're going to play so deep that we're just going to, like, have a gazillion yards passing. And
all underneath,
it's
catch
like,
and run.
Oh, we kicked 3 field goals and only scored 40, you know, whatever,
right, right.
45, you know. Like, but I don't know. The nice thing is when you play the other good teams, they're still not going to go completely unconventional.
Right.
But a lot like FDU against Purdue, I think some of these teams are going to be like, we're dropping 9 guys in the – we're only rushing 2 at the passer.
Right.
We're going to let Joe Milton stand back there. We're not rushing anybody. 11 guys in coverage. Joe, just decide when you want to throw it.
That's what Arkansas did to Ole Miss
and
corral through 5 picks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 6.
So I think you'll see some weird crap, which some of it might work for a minute. Some of it
but
probably
the,
won't.
But the difference is Heupel will run the ball.
I know. I love that about him.
I mean, Heupel, I guarantee if they do that, he'll have a play where it's like, we're going to snap it. I don't want the running back to move. If they drop, you hand it off.
Yeah.
Like draw play type stuff.
Yeah, you could you could almost have, let's say like an inverted package play or what do we call them now? RPO. Like an inverted
It's like
RPO.
A PRO, the pass
yeah,
run
pass
option.
Pass run option.
Yeah.
Or you just tell Joe to take off and the
yeah.
running back blocks for him.
Well, and that's the – yeah, that's – I mean, that's almost like having a fullback. Except mm-hmm. he's a running back.
Right, yeah.
Playing fullback. Well, that's the good thing about having a mobile quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
And mobile running backs. Those are important.
Those are important.
You want your running backs to be mobile, Nate.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Dual threat running back.
Milton ran it 18 times for 77 yards.
I like our
it's actually
like
pretty
dual,
good.
Dual threat tight ends, ones that can throw touchdown passes.
Those are good too. The more duality you have,
I want the next Mike Leach needs to develop the 2 quarterback system. I mean, there's got to be a way, right, to just have 2 guys back there that could each throw the ball at any point,
like a lefty and a righty.
Sure, yeah. They're always rolling to the strong side.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be great.
Snap it at one, lateral to the other, buy a little extra time. He's finding guys that have crossed the field twice. You know, it's like backyard football.
And then the misdirection is like snap it to the one. He goes to roll. All the actions to the left.
Yeah.
He pitches it to the
Fake
right.
The handoff.
Naked.
Yeah.
The naked pitch.
Montana State's actually kind of ahead of the curve on that. They will occasionally run some formations featuring 2 quarterbacks in the backfield.
What was the guy? The guy went to Presbyterian that never punts and stuff, and they looked okay for a few games, and then they had to fire him. But, like, he was saying plays where there's more than one pass. Like, backwards pass counts, you know. So he wanted three or more guys to touch the football in any one play. That was the next evolution of.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
You know, the FAU coach might need to go pick his brain. He's been watching a lot of Aussie rules football now. So he'd have some good lateral ideas, I'm sure.
I'm going to go watch some rugby.
What a goober. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two next. Final segment, hour number two. You right over there, Chris? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm
oh,
good.
Oh, no. Just break your headphones?
I'm only getting the music through one headphone,
huh?
But I'm getting you and everybody else through both.
Yeah, that file must not be in stereo.
No, I recorded that file. It's definitely in stereo.
No, oh, okay.
It's Tool.
Oh.
He's played it 1,000 times. It's never sounded like that. And it was getting like a...
Okay. So the board's having trouble with its...
We'll check the connections here.
I play it because you like it, Chris.
Maybe the computer.
You like that one, too.
I guess.
I just got a little nervous. I thought maybe my headphones were broken again.
Sad.
It is sad, actually. You've had yours for like a million... Next time I get them, I think I'm going to get the nice pair like you have.
Yeah. Buy nice, buy
I like these, though, because they're mixed flat.
That's what they say. Buy once, buy nice, buy once.
These, I mean, these weren't cheap. But I like these because they're flat. Those have a bass boost.
I like the bass boost.
Well, but when you're listening to an album that's already been mixed perfectly.
I don't listen to albums. Not with these, anyway.
You like to hear the bass in my voice.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. We should switch headphones one day. Let me try them out.
Think it sounds... Oh, give them a test spin?
I mean, what better way? Maybe you'd like these.
Actually, this is my second pair.
Oh, is it?
But I literally wore the cuffs off the first one.
Just the pads?
Well, no, all this was coming apart.
You still have them?
They're over there. They're broken now because some idiot here broke them.
Ooh, sheesh.
Probably I don't think bear. That idiot's still here, so.
Oh.
I honestly don't remember either, so that.
Well, they would, for a while, their stuff would get broken and no one would tell us. We just come into broken stuff.
Yeah, it was never the morning people. We take care of our things. I had to get onto my daughter yesterday. I guess phones now, just in cases, she just like took her phone and like went to like just set it on the ground. It's like threw it on the ground. I'm like, what are you doing? Take care of your stuff. That's how people are.
Does it have a case?
Shows. Yeah, it's a case.
Well, then why can't it be on the ground?
Well, she threw it down into a pea gravel portion of a walkway.
Is that not weird to you? Like, I have noticed that, like, younger people,
they'll just
chuck it. They're just like playing basketball, they'll look at their phone outside on a pickup court and just flip it over, and it's just like clunk 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 clunk,
like on the pavement.
Yes.
What?
And I'm just like, ah.
I kind of do that too, but
see,
I mean, on the pavement it gets still, even with
scratch
the case,
a lens. I know. Yeah, I know
my camera. Phone's so old, it's not like I care.
Every day that you don't buy a new phone is saving your, like, life money account. Like, you realize that, right? It's like buying tires. Like really, I mean, you want to be safe, but the longer you can wait to buy tires, the more money you're accumulating through the life of your, you know.
Life.
Of your body, yeah.
Of your body.
Because
the spirit is forever.
A lot of orange
blood,
in
my body.
I deleted, like, 800 photos yesterday, so I could have more room to take more pictures.
I don't think we need phones, you know, post life. You know, I don't think the soul needs a phone.
No, we'll all be connected via the space web.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you a joke during the break.
Okay.
It's about hell. You're going to hell. Not you. I just wanted to quote Seinfeld there for a second. What's that guy's name with the deep voice? He doesn't need the bass boost. You know, Elaine's.
Putty?
Yeah, yeah.
I forget that guy's real name. He does a lot of voice acting and stuff.
Somebody sent me a joke this morning.
It's because you're going to hell.
It's actually about Chris.
What?
And it's a good joke because it's not only is it funny, it's also very timely.
What is it? I want to know who sent it and what it's about.
Don't want to butcher it. Let me pull it up. I mean, it's timely because...
Is it mean? Is it going to hurt my feelings?
No, it's not mean. What do Doug Gottlieb and Houston Kress have in common? They both use other people's credit cards.
That one's pretty good.
Shouts out to Jared for that one.
At least I let Nate use it for me. That was pretty good. That was actually really good.
Very timely, considering the watch party and the beef you and Doug now have. I hate that guy.
Like, I didn't think he was going to respond to me, but if he's going to, I'm going to explain my side of the story. He also just kind of gave up randomly. Like, we tweeted back and forth for like 20 minutes, and then I made a point, and he just ghosted. Probably had some purchases to make.
Oh, man. Doug Gottlieb. When do you think we're just gonna have to suffer through all this stupid Duke officiating crap until tip off of what's the first? Is it Kansas State, Michigan State's the first game? As soon as it tips off, people forget about it.
I hope so.
It'll be over. Now somebody might bring it up, I guess, based on what happens in the FAU game, but as long as Euros doesn't do anything super stupid.
I feel like you don't need to in this game. Like, you don't need to come into the game thinking that's what you have to do. Like, I think with Duke, and he's...
Yeah, I mean, we should bully them just by being the size
being
we are.
Us,
yeah.
Exactly. With Duke, they had 2 7-footers, and Plavzic said after the game, I did not want to have a freshman or two freshmen in my college career at Tennessee, and I think Olivier took that same mindset. So what do you do when you're... You know, going against super talented 5-star guys that are also tall, you use what your advantage is, which is size, weight, beef, meat.
It was such a good tone setter, though.
Well, and it's funny because, like, cry about it all you want if you wanted it to be called a flagrant, if you didn't, whatever. Like, if you watch those two plays and say that Kyle Filipowski did not flop to sell those.
Oh, yeah. 100% flop.
And maybe flop is the wrong word.
Yeah, flop has become a technical term to mean faking it. But
he oversold.
He oversold him. Which as a coach,
I'm not going to say oversold. If I'm a Duke fan, I'm glad he did it. I'm glad he got the call. If he had elbowed Euros like that, I want Euros to sell it.
No, exactly.
Like, I'm fine with him selling the call.
Yeah.
But he definitely sold the call.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. Like, it's like we had a plan coming into the game, and Duke had a plan, and their plan was to mitigate our aggressive play by making sure the refs saw, whoa, I got hit really hard, and they did, and they got the foul call. So what are you crying? I mean, the worst one was Vescovi, you know, swiping the ball.
Yeah.
And I still have not seen an angle that says, yes, that ball touched the tip of his nose. But
he was smiling.
Yeah, and then he gets up and looks at his buddy and thumbs up. It's like, okay, yeah, like, you flopped. You sold the call. I don't think they deserve that one, frankly. But, you know, whatever. It happens. It's fine.
I'll tell you what.
What else happened on that play? Didn't they look at two things?
That was the elbow by Adu when they were just both going for the rebound when Filipowski got his.
That's right, yeah.
Under his eye.
I thought that's what it was. But then in my head, I was like, we didn't have the ball. But yeah, we did because Vescovi swung the ball.
I hate Filipowski, but at the end of the day, like, he was very complimentary in his post game interviews.
Oh, was he? I didn't hear it.
I mean, he said, he's like, no disrespect to any of the other teams we've played this year, but that's the most physical team we've seen.
Yeah. I can live with that.
And for a guy who just got his tail thrown around for 40 minutes, I mean, I could see why you would be salty, so pretty cool of him to give us the cred there.
Well, because he's gone, right? Like, he's going to the NBA.
I don't know if I've seen him on the draft.
Oh, really? Right, okay. Now. Okay.
Their top draft pick is the center, Lively.
He's still late per game.
But they're going
to draft a kid out of high school. Yeah. I'm just hoping you can make him into a scorer. We'll come back. Kickoff hour 3 next.